Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the IIFL Securities Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. R. Venkataraman, Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Q4 FY23 analyst call of IIFL Securities. I'm R. Venkataraman. I'm the Managing Director of IIFL Securities, and accompanying me is Ronak Gandhi, our CFO. In its latest bi-monthly monetary policy, the RBI has pressed the pause button on our rate hikes. This move has come as a relief for the market participants and corporates alike. RBI was quick to underline that the decision should not be construed as the end of the rate hike cycle, which seems to be a prudent approach. March CPI also came in at a 15-month low at 5.6%, and core inflation, excluding food, fuel, stood at about 5.8%, and all eyes will be on the inflation trends. According to NSO's advanced projections, India's GDP is predicted to grow at 7% in FY23, effectively retaining its position as one of the world's fastest-growing major economies. During the quarter, global regulators acted swiftly to rein in the crisis caused by the collapse of a few banks in U.S., which exposed the entire system to vulnerabilities, especially in a rising interest rate scenario. Going ahead, we believe that capital markets will move in sync with emerging economic news across the globe, coupled with geopolitical news as well as global interest rate scenario. During the quarter, we put up a good performance on the back of continued traction in the affluent broking and distribution businesses. Our investment banking division completed 8 deals across capital markets, debt, and private equity. We are working towards sharpening our strategy and focus on affluent customers in line with the reorganization structure approved by the board, which happened last quarter. The reorganization scheme is awaiting regulatory approval, sorry. Coming to the results for March 31st, consolidated revenues for the quarter came at 405 crores, up 17% quarter-on-quarter, 12% year-on-year. For the quarter-on-quarter basis, brokerage income increased 17%, 181 crores versus 155 crores, mainly because of growth in our institutional broking business. Distribution income has grown up 78% on a quarter-on-quarter basis, 95 crores versus 54 crores, and that was primarily driven because of product closure in our insurance, in our life insurance business. Investment banking has decreased 22% quarter-on-quarter, 32 in this quarter versus 42 in the previous quarter. On a year-on-year basis, brokerage income has increased 15%, 181 versus 157. FPD income has increased by 70%, 95 versus 56 in the last year. Investment banking has decreased significantly because last year, fourth quarter was a bumper quarter for our investment banking business, where we clocked in revenue of 66 crores, which has fallen down to 32 crores, and primarily due to muted primary market activities. Coming to other line items, other income was at about 3.29 crores, which has fallen 34 crores quarter-on-quarter, 78 crores year-on-year, basically due to MTM and mark-to-market losses investments, and that too primarily in the BSE shares, which we have been holding it for decades. Then comes to employee cost. Employee cost was virtually flat quarter-on-quarter, and down 4% on a year-on-year basis, and that is primarily to do with the variable payouts. Average finance cost was up 6% on a quarter-on-quarter basis, and that is primarily due to increase in the interest rates in line with the overall interest rate hike in the system. Admin cost was increased by 16% quarter-on-quarter and 27% year-on-year, mainly due to technology cost increase as well as some broker pass outs and marketing costs. Other line items, average assets under custody are about 124,000 crores, roughly 105,000 crores in custody assets and Demat, and 20,000 crores in other products, which is mutual fund, AIF, debt, fixed deposits, et cetera. Average turnover for the quarter was 195,604 crores, BSE, NSE combined, which was 1,600 crores in cash segment and 194,000 crores in derivative segment. The corresponding figures for the previous quarter was 156,756 which was 1,569 in cash and 1,55,187 crores in the derivative segment. With this, I have come to the end of my opening remarks, and I'll be more than happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Prayesh.
Yeah. So just, you know, you mentioned that your IE revenues have improved sequentially. Could you quantify that for me as to what was the quantum of IE revenues and how much have they gone up sequentially?
IE is institutional equities, right?
Yeah, institutional equities.
So we don't share all those details. But roughly 50-50 is investment banking fell and institutional equities increased.
Out of the broking, how much will be IE, institutional equities?
I think it is roughly 50-50.
Between retail and...
Broadly speaking, it will be about 60-40 now.
60-40.
Okay, 60-40.
Yeah.
60 is retail and 40 is...
No, 6. 40 is institutional.
Okay. Out of the broking, 180 crores that we did.
Yes.
Okay. And so, you know, you mentioned about the interest going, interest cost going up. How has been the margin trade funding book for us?
Margin trading fund, margin trading book has fallen down. It was roughly now, it is about 600 crores, right?
Right now it is 600.
Roughly now it is about 600 crores. It was at peak, it was 700 crores.
Okay.
And, you know, actually what happens is that we don't have a significant margin funding book. So that is an opportunity for us to grow.
Okay. How many of your customers would be using the around 4 lakh customers you have? Out of that, how many would be using the margin trade funding facility right now?
Roughly about 25,000.
Okay. Oh, large scope for growth there.
Yes.
Yeah, and have you passed on the increase in interest to the customers, or you've retained the cost impact?
That's on a case-to-case basis. You know, the business is very competitive, and all brokers, including your own firm, are very aggressive in offering attractive rates. So some we pass, some we retain. If that's the correct answer. To say that I passed on 100% is like a wrong statement.
Okay. Okay. And so on this upstreaming of funds, you know, to the clearing corporation, do you see any impact for you guys? I think, you know, one of the brokers mentioned that they have some 40 crores impact.
We have not worked on the mathematics of exactly how it will be impacted. But there is definitely be an impact on if the upstreaming guidelines come, because now the float income will fall down.
But as of now, they have allowed the fixed deposit, so there will be no impact as of now.
Okay, but how much of you deposit the bank guarantees? Bank guarantee is something which is not allowed right now.
No, bank guarantee is allowed. So now the new guidelines which will kick in is that with client funds you cannot make bank guarantees. So you have to use your own funds to make fixed deposits on which you will get bank guarantees.
Okay. So not material impact of any...
No, there will be an impact. The impact has not been calculated. So obviously everybody will find a workaround. So to say that there is no impact is wrong. There will be an impact. The exact quantum of that is not ascertain.
Okay, got that. And sir, on your distribution kind of, you know, distribution business impact, you know, once this AMC regulations kind of, which are not yet out, but if the way it's been spoken in the media, if the TER cuts are implemented, what kind of, you know, cuts you anticipate on your mutual fund commissions? Last time, because, you know, in somewhere in 2019, when the TER cuts were implemented, that time distributors took a lot of it. So even this time, would you think that the distributors would be the biggest,
I don't know. At least if you believe the media, everybody is talking about a 25-35 basis points cut. So my opinion is that I think the mutual AMCs will pass it on. I don't think they will be taking it on their books. So I'm sure there'll be some impact.
Okay. And last question, sir, again on these regulations only. The another part is about broking being included in the TER, and that would kind of, you know, impact the IE business. So, you know, again, that could be challenging, right, for the IE business.
So if this happens, then obviously IE income will be affected. But you know, the thing is, if you look at it, all the industry has passed through all the challenges, but overall size of the pie keeps on increasing. So hope that the growth in the pie will offset some of it. But obviously on a unit level, there will be the hit.
All right, sir. Thank you so much. All the best, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ujjwin Nevatia from Nivith Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon, everybody. So my first question is regarding the impact of interest rate hike on your finance cost. Actually, can you give a rough idea how much of the cost has been passed on to the clients?
No, actually, the previous analyst also asked the same question. So, you know, basically, we would have passed some cost, and some cost we have to take the hit simply because this broking is very competitive and most of the brokers are offering very attractive rates. So to say that we have passed on 100% of the increase is wrong. I think some of that we have to take it because some big customers you have to maintain the rates or offer them good rates. So I would say.
So can you give a rough idea how much percentage of that particular AUM, you know, has been passed on?
Very difficult to say. I don't have a number in mind, but I'll ask the CFO to calculate and get back because I don't want to hazard a guess.
Okay. So my second question is, so your MTF loan book, how much it is financed by the internal source of funds and how much is it financed by the external source of funds?
See, actually it will be 50% on our, from our own books and we have borrowed about 50%. So that is the correct answer. So 300 crore. 600 crores का बुक है, 300 अपना है और 300 का लोन है।
ओके ओके श्योर सर श्योर थैंक यू थैंक थैंक यू वेरी मच सर।
थैंक यू लेडीज एंड जेंटलमैन, इफ यू विश टू आस्क अ क्वेश्चन प्लीज प्रेस स्टार वन। Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
So, you know, I just wanted to pick your brains on how do you see the brokerage rates moving from here on the retail side? Especially now that the compliance costs have been moving up, possibly there will be loss of float income when ASBA is implemented. So how do you see the brokerage rates kind of trending from here on?
You know, Prayesh, that's a very good question. And if you ask me to put a forward-looking question, in the last 20 years, maybe we have seen only one-way decline of interest rates, of brokerage rates. And so now I have a feeling that given the fact that, as you rightly pointed out, your technology compliance cost is going up, a float is going away, this TER will come and impact institutional broking. And you have forgotten one more thing, is tech cost. Technology cost also rising every day. And so effectively, I have a feeling that if this trend continues, then all brokers will have no choice but to increase rates. So I think there will be a time soon in the next 12 to 15 months where rates will go up. If not rates will going up, at least the continuous decline of rates which we have seen in India will at least stop. So now these days of all this super discount rates are, in my opinion, difficult to come by.
Okay. And do you also anticipate more consolidation? If you look at the number of brokers that has been reducing every year, do you think that will kind of gain further momentum and eventually much lesser players will be there in the industry and that will be kind of good for large brokers like us?
You know, what is happening in the industry is that in the last maybe 5 years or maybe we have always, the entire, all the industry players have been always been talking about a consolidation in the industry. But for some strange reasons, it has never happened. And I think your company, Motilal, was a pioneer in taking over regional brokers. In the last 3-4 years, what has happened is two things has happened. One is technology cost has increased dramatically. Second is compliance cost has increased dramatically. And with every day new compliance comes, so smaller regional brokers who were earlier relationship based brokers, they are finding it more and more difficult. So all of them have surrendered their cart and become sub brokers or partners of a larger broker. So in my opinion, what you say is correct. This trend will increase, especially given the fact as now upstreaming comes, this comes, that comes, then obviously it will be much more and more difficult for them. They were earlier a class of brokers who were small, but they catered to a niche audience, and they what we call as typically super relationship broking. So all those people will have more and more or less problems. So consolidation will happen.
Okay. And so more on this, the affluent strategy, say from a 3-year, 5-year perspective, how do you see the business kind of shaping up in between of mix of broking, distribution, and interest income, kind of how do you see this kind of shaping up for IIFL Securities?
So I my guess is that as of now we are about 70-30 transaction to non-transaction, and in the next 3 years we should, in the next 3 to 5 years we should be able to flip it fully.
I didn't get that. So we'll be able to.
Now, as of now, transaction to non-transaction is 70-30, mota. And this number should become at 60-40, but it's for 60 non-transaction, 40 transaction. That is what we are working towards.
Okay, good. Answer is, again, last question. In terms of transfer of 1.5 million demat accounts to Paisa, where at what stage we are in, and how do you buy when do you plan to complete?
Second question?
So on this, when do you plan to complete this 1.5 million demat account transfer?
So what has happened is that as of now, we are waiting for SEBI approvals, right? And then we have to go for NCLT.
Yes, then we will.
So then we have to go for NCLT. So I think we are about 9 months away.
Okay. And how is IIFL Securities gained out of this by transferring?
No, if you look at this, the reason why we did this was, so if you know, IIFL Securities had online retail trading customers, private client group, institutional equities, and franchisee business. So the entire online trading business, which was the small, online retail customers, that has been transferred to 5paisa. So what we are benefiting is that so this will help us to mitigate the overlap and have focus on more the private client group and the franchisee business. So I would say the big benefit is that a big benefit is about focus and conducive culture for a business which is suited for that. Because the same RM, it was difficult for him to handle a 1,000 rupee customer also and 1 crore customer also.
Makes sense. So, and the trader terminal sits in IIFL Security as a cost or as an asset?
Trader terminal sits with us, but effectively, 5paisa has its own separate tech platform and tech cost.
Okay. So basically, the customers will be transferred from trader terminal to 5paisa.
For lack of a better, it will be traded from IIFL Securities trader terminal to 5paisa trader terminal equivalent.
Okay. Got that, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Kajal from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers.
Thank you, Kajal, for your good wishes.
Sir, two things. One is the incremental customers which we are adding are purely from this flat fee plan, or we are seeing, because we wanted to move to more affluent customers, so we are seeing some traction there also. And the incremental volume surge, which we have seen sequentially, is coming from this bracket only or sub-broker, any color on that?
Okay. See, if you look at our customer acquisition, as you rightly pointed out, our customers' pace of acquisition of customers has fallen. And because we have decided not to spend money in acquiring online retail customers. So most of the customers are coming from either the affluent channel or the sub-broker channel. So the flat fee component of that is less. I would say that earlier it was about 80-20 flat fee. Now it is about 40-60 flat fee. So because the sub-broker in the PMI segment does not sell these flat fee things. And the growth is primarily driven by acquisition of some big customers. So it is the affluent broking which has driven this. Affluent broking, whether it is done through relationship managers or sub-brokers, which has driven the surge in derivatives volumes.
Okay. What will be the color of this customer? Like any income bracket or anything?
I would say net worth bracket. So net worth bracket will be primarily more than, I would say, 5 million. 50 lakhs, 1 crore se jyada hi hoga.
Okay. So then break even or CAC is changing for you for these set of customers then?
See, basically earlier we used to spend a lot of money in acquiring customers, so that cost has come down. So this cost is already factored in because we have anyway RMS and sub-brokers in place. So on an incremental margin basis, I assume, I hope that CAC is coming down.
Okay, because earlier we were having a 1,000, 1,200 kind of number, 1,000 number on the CAC.
No, earlier we were that because we had used to acquire a large number of customers. If you see acquisition number, we had acquired 2 lakhs and 1.5 lakhs per quarter. That has fallen dramatically to 50,000. So obviously we are not spending money to acquire these customers on that scale. I don't want to say we don't spend money, but not on that scale.
Okay, sir. And anything on break even for these customers which you are acquiring?
That I think break even should happen faster, at least because these are focused acquisition.
Okay. And then second, in this sequential surge in FM volumes which we have seen, we have not seen a sequential retail back to back quarter on quarter brokerage income surge. Because if I do that, 118 crore was in the previous quarter and it is 121 crore in this quarter on a sequential basis. So how do we read that?
No, because of volume increase, it has happened, boss.
That's it. There is no material increase that we answer. So 1,54,000 crore to 1,94,000 is a significant jump on a sequential basis on FNO volume.
No, if you see the numbers actually now, the 1,55,000 became 1,94,000.
Yes. But
yeah.
Accordingly we are not seeing retail brokerage income rising QOQ. That is what my question is.
So this quarter growth has been driven by brokerage from institutional income, and retail income growth has been marginal. So not commensurate with this steep growth, because you know options may, all the customers who come the HNI segment, their rates are already quite low. So there is no direct correlation between increase in volume, especially on expiry days, they get special rates.
Yeah, okay, fine. That was my question. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sumit Jankar from Vardhaman. Please go ahead.
Thank you for providing me the opportunity. I want to know the contribution of derivatives in brokerage from retail segment. Hello, am I audible?
Hello.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I didn't understand your question.
So I just want to know the contribution of derivatives in brokerage for retail.
Okay. It will be about 70-30.
Okay. My next question is regarding active clients. So overall in the market, the active clients are dropping since from last 10 months. So how do you see in coming quarters, could this phenomenon come to end, or number will go on consolidating?
Number of active customers are falling down. And as I said, right now, we are not focused on increasing number of active customers at all. We are focused on improving the number of active, high-value, affluent customers. So we are more focused on trying to generate brokerage, do more cross-sell, rather than just focus on the one metric, which is number of active customers.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Devrat Mota from Capital International. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Hi, Venkat. Hi, this is Devrat here. I had a couple of questions. Actually, firstly, on the industry, on this on the float income, by when does this start having an impact on you know, just financials for all the brokers?
I think
after the regulatory change.
So we don't know when the circular will come. People are expecting in this coming quarter. So once that comes, only then the impact will start. And then we also have to read the fine print on how we can protect ourselves. So my guess is that directionally speaking, yes, there will be an impact. And we have to wait and watch the final circular before concluding the extent of impact.
Can you just help me understand a little bit on what exactly is the plan here?
So the plan is that the regulator says that the broker will not keep any money of the customer with the broker. So suppose you have 100 rupees, you give 1 crore rupees to me, it is sitting in my bank account. And I report to the exchange that this money is lying with me. Now regulator says that this money has to be given to the clearing corporation. So you lose the float income.
Got it. Okay. Okay, and this would impact, I mean, mostly independent brokers like yourself, or you know, I mean, the bank brokers, or who's kind of most impacted by this?
See,
what about the new age brokers also?
It will impact every broker. Only the degree of impact will be less. So people like us will be very badly impacted because we don't have a bank in the ecosystem. And so new age broker, people like us, everybody will be affected. Bank brokers, to some extent, will be relatively better off because anyway the money was always staying in the bank account and they were just marking a lien. So the bank will, and I don't know what was the transfer pricing or whatever equation they had. So to that extent will be affected. But we have to wait and watch the fine print whether the lien, what is the final read on the concept of lien, whether the lien can be done or you have to actually take the money and upstream it.
Got it. But basically, I mean, the impact you're saying will be greater for standalone brokers. So what about the new age one? They'd probably be impacted just as much or probably worse. I mean, similar to you all, right?
Yeah, they'll be similar to us. When I say independent broker, I don't mean whether it's your old age or whatever. So there are two categories of broker and a bank-based broker. So anybody who's not a bank-based broker, I guess the effect will be equal.
Understood. And can I ask one more question on you know, just your own financials? If I look at your results, you know, just quarter on quarter, you had a big jump up in insurance revenue this quarter versus last quarter. What's happening there?
So, you know, this year that the new regulations kicked in from 1st of April, where the 5 lakh cap has been put in for guaranteed return products. So, obviously, we had a product closure and we benefited from that. So, we sold a lot of insurance in the last quarter.
Understood. Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Those are the questions that I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ankur from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congrats for a good set of numbers and thank you for taking my question. Sir, you
thank
are
you
saying...
So much.
Sorry, can you hear me?
I said thank you for joining the call. And so, I can hear you.
Yeah. So you are saying that the big jump in this quarter is because of the institutional business. So can you comment on the visibility of that in the coming quarters and the year?
Actually, you know, it's a very difficult question to comment on. And it's very difficult to comment on the visibility, especially in the transaction income of the broking industry space. So last quarter, we were lucky that we got a couple of very large orders from clients. So that helped us to bump it up.
So any color, how has this quarter been? Like we have almost 1 month passed and we are expecting, as in how, what is our expectation, sir?
Difficult to say any forward-looking statement.
Sure, sir. And on dividend yield, what is our expectation? We have been paying dividend payouts of 30 to 40%. So what kind of expectations can we have?
My feeling is that the dividend yield of 30% will continue. So on that, there is no doubt it's a stated company defined policy. And the only reason why we are not being more aggressive in payout, because I assume that your next question will be that some of our competition is even more aggressive, is because we believe, given the fact that the regulations are becoming tighter on capital requirements of brokers, working capital requirement is increased, so it's better to conserve cash.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Raj from RF Partners. Please go ahead.
No, right, yeah, hello. So the earlier analyst, you were explaining about the free float amount you have to give to the clearing corporation. So can you explain it to me again?
See, you know what happens is that historically when you give money to the broker, so suppose aapne 100 rupees ka cash 100 rupees diya aapne 1 crore rupees diya. So then what happens is that 100 the 1 crore which comes to me stays with me. And as and when you buy, I make the paying to the exchange and give you the shares. So there are some customers who give us money and don't trade. So that float, that benefit of that money is, comes to the broker. Now SEBI is very clear, says that the moment customer gives you money of 1 rupee, you have to straight away give it to the clearing corporation. So that, for example, you give me money 1 crore. So the 1 crore which was lying in my books will now go to the clearing corporation. So my books will be more or less, I'll be like a pass-through.
Understood. Okay.
So all float income will go to the clearing corporation.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Prayesh Chen from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so sorry about this coming again and again. But just more clarity on this, float income again. The regular, the announcement that happened in the SEBI board meet was that the fixed, there can be three forms of money transfer to the clearing corporation. One is the cash that directly has to be gone to clearing corporation. Second is you can convert it into FDs and possibly pledge or lien against it. And third is the converting into overnight mutual funds. So if the second and the third options are followed, then the float income would continue to be with the broker, right?
Yes, that's the reason.
That is the reason we said that we have to see the final circular before commenting.
Right, as of now, as per the current circular, there is no impact on the float income because we majorly invest everything in FD and overnight income.
Okay, and I think the only change would be that you have to do this on a daily basis now. Is that the right thing?
Yes.
And possibly a mix of overnight funds will increase and that would kind of lower down the yields on the float, right?
No, on the cash side, we have to upstream it, but majorly all the amount, all the money is parked in fixed deposit and which are placed with exchange.
Okay. And second thing is on the other part is the ASBA thing, right? ASBA for the secondary market transaction, ASBA, like currently it's voluntary for both brokers and customers, but how do you see this eventually panning it out? Because if this has to be implemented, then definitely the float income will go 100% away, right?
As of now, it is for UPI clients, so the amount is like 2 lakhs, which will not be a major because the client base, what we have, they do a bigger transfer. So as of now, there is no major impact for us.
But theoretically saying what you say is correct. If the whole ASBA came and everything said that you don't ASBA, then the float income will go completely. अभी जो हमारे पास that alternate we have a fixed deposit and liquid funds.
So currently it is restricted to 2 lakh.
Operational intensity will also increase.
So currently only up to 2 lakh rupees can be blocked, right? Is that the right thinking?
But 2 का 5 करने वाला है. हाँ. 2 का 5 हो गया.
5 हो गया. 5 लाख तक का. Okay. That is a very small amount, right?
हाँ.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ketan Atavale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
I just had one question. How many franchise or channel partners do we have?
We have about 7,000 franchisee and channel partners.
And how do you see that number in 3 to 4 years?
So this number should double.
Okay, alright. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Pranay Javeri from J&J Holdings. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity. Sir, I have two questions. One is basically, what is the status of the real estate sale and the current valuation for it? And this, well, that's my second question later.
I'll tell you. Let me answer this question. We have currently 6,20,000 square feet of real estate. The big chunk is Chennai, 2,50,000. Then we have off so basically we have offices in Ahmedabad, Mumbai, then Pune, Thane, Gurgaon, Hyderabad, and these are the locations. So the book value is about 227 crores. Market value as per outsider valuers are about 670 crores. So but we are trade we are keeping it at, we are valuing it at 220 crores, right? 220 crores. 27% is leased to outsiders, and rental income is 27% from outsiders, and rest is in the group. Out of which I am confident that in the coming quarter we should be able to get rid of Ahmedabad. We should be able to get rid of Ahmedabad. Talks are in advanced stage, and then we hope that others we have to work on exiting.
What? How big is Ahmedabad?
But 30,000, 35,000.
Value wise?
Value नहीं है मेरे पास लिखा हुआ यार. नहीं है इसमें लिखा नहीं है.
ठीक है. सो बेसिकली मे बी इफ यू कैन जस्ट ओवर पीरियड ऑफ टाइम से इन नेक्स्ट टू इयर्स थ्री इयर्स यू थिंक व्हाट शुड द सेल अमाउंट बी.
यू नो टू बी वेरी ऑनेस्ट ना वी सोल्ड सम प्रॉपर्टीज टू इयर्स अगो एंड देन वी गॉट अ हिट बाय रोड ब्लॉक. कुछ बिका ही नहीं. सो अभी अहमदाबाद हिला है. सो माई गेस इज है कि मुंबई हफ्टाउन सोलारिस थाना एंड गुड़गांव विल रिटेन एंड रेस्ट विल ट्राई टू सेल. So as and when it happens.
So is it fair to assume that out of that this 27% which we are for captive, you said it's other way around, right? 70% is
captive. Outside, अपना seven अपना बाकी है.
So over a period of time, is it fair to assume that 25-30% will be sold?
My guess is that yes, you can assume that out of the 6 lakh 20,000, our target is to sell about 2 lakh for sure.
Okay. And sir, my next question is seeing the current valuation and your dividend distribution policy, which at 30%, would a buyback be a better option? What is your thought process?
No, that's a good question you had, and I think one of the previous gentlemen asked us the question on dividend payout policy also. So as of now, roughly about 30-35% we are paying out, and the reason is that we have decided as a corporate, as a group, to retain cash simply because working capital requirements for this business is increasing, and it's better to see and how this new circular and all unfolds before taking a call on more aggressive payouts.
So this 30-35% payout, would that be used towards buyback and
no, that I think we will work with our CFO, will work and find out which is best for the shareholders and do the needful, because we did one buyback. No, no, one buyback kiya tha.
Yeah, that was in February 21 at 54 bucks.
Yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Swarnabh Mukherjee from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers, sir. Two, three questions. First one on the client acquisition side. So, so the 7,000 channel partners that you have mentioned, so if I were to look at your client acquisition, so earlier, as you mentioned that 2 lakh customers you were focusing about a year back or so, and now you have trimmed it down. Focusing on the affluent segment. How does your sourcing mix change because of that?
The sourcing mix earlier was about 60-40, 70-30, 80-20, because 80 was procured by us, 20 was done by some brokers. Correct?
Okay.
Because of online, we used to spend money and acquire customers. So now, now if you look at the business, now I think it will be 70-30. 70 is acquired by partners and 30 buyers.
Okay, and what we do online, that is predominantly online or also through branches as well?
Through branches, RMs, everyone.
Okay, but even if I were to look at our own direct mix, how would that number look? Maybe right now. Hello.
What is the question?
So question is, so you are saying 30% right now is done by us directly. So right now, is that predominantly online still out of the 30%?
I would say that it will be maybe 50-50 online, offline. Offline is also there because we are using all the branches and the RMs also.
Sure. And in terms of say the kind of customers we are getting right now, what would be the mix in terms of say where they are located, the geography or the age-related demographics, if you can highlight?
Geographies, tier two, tier three also, and basically all over India. And demographics, age ke mere paas koi data nahi hai.
Okay. So, sir, tier two, tier three, in this now, you know, reduced, I mean, very focused kind of acquisition, what would be the share of tier two, tier three right now?
I don't have an exact number right in front of me. Please let me know.
Okay. Maybe I will connect regarding that.
Connect the CFO separately, I'll give you the answer. So basically, your question is that out of this 50,000 customers you acquired last quarter, which is the city from where we are getting?
Yeah. So what kind of geography? And I wanted to compare vis-a-vis what it was in Q4 last year when you were kind of hitting the peak in terms of acquisition.
Understood.
Yeah. So that is one. And also wanted to understand that in your retail gross broking revenue, what would be the share of what is coming from sub-brokers?
Huh?
From the partners, what would be the gross broking revenue share that is coming in your overall retail gross broking pie?
It's roughly 50-50.
50. Okay. All right. And in the life insurance distribution, what would be the kind of mix between new premium and renewal premium, and what would be our commission?
The entire 250. Okay, last year we collected.
120, 180.
One second. First year premium, we collected was last year about 160 crores in life and 120 in GI. This year, 280 crores, and last year was the same figure, 180 crores.
Right. So.
It's a first year premium, it's not renewal.
Sorry, sir, I did not get. So out of, say, for example, 81 crores of life insurance premium in FY22, how much would be the renewals?
100% is first year. Renewal alag se
hai. Acha, ye first year hai pura.
Haan.
Okay. And overall, apka commission, what would be the commission number? So, I mean, at least the rate at a blended level?
Rate, I don't have. Rate, we can't share.
Okay. All right. No problem, sir. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, sir. Rest of the queries, I'll take offline. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. So if I understand, your big question is that you want the geographical spread of the customers acquired on the last this year, this quarter, and last quarter?
Yes, correct, sir.
That's the big question. Yes.
Not last quarter, maybe last year, same quarter when you had.
So you want a trend. Theek hai, done.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you so much for a set of really engaging and discerning questions. And whatever questions I could not answer with clear-cut data, you can contact our CFO, and maybe we'll get back to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.